Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up, Matt gets a bum wax.
Our mate Ian Blackley shares some memories of the great Captain Paul.
The Premier of Western Australia, Mark McGowan, is in.
And Claire's got a great story about Captain Paul of his own.
After you get this Claire's, Matt and Kimber catch-up, get great savings at Chemist Warehouse.
Claire's, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Bear Your Bum for Bowel Cancer.
Go on, give it a crack.
In support of our great mate Captain Paul, it's a wonderful campaign that he's given the green light to, and that is to get as many people doing, you know, the bowel cancer screening test as possible. And of course, on Friday down at the beach, we're going to be there revealing our bums for bowel cancer.
We're going to bare our bums, and we all play a role in this, and we're all trying to do what we can. And so Karen from Le Beau Day Spa has come in to help poor Maddie get his bum waxed.
Yes.
Get that crack done. I can see, Karen, you've put some beautiful talcum powder all over Matt's buttocks.
Yeah. Hey, Karen, can we just get you to come over to the microphone? We'll just have a very brief chat with you. Now, Matt has, he's already revealed his bum.
Yep. My bum's out.
Yeah. Does he have any reason to be nervous? Is the wax extra hot today?
No, the wax is going on will feel lovely.
Oh, nice.
Off,
a bit painful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, go to it. I mean,
yeah,
let's see what we need to do. We can see you've covered his bum in talcum powder. How are you feeling, Maddie?
I'm okay. Karen's a trained professional.
She is.
Yes.
Yeah, although she got her license out of a Wheaties box, so there is an issue there.
So,
There we go.
Yeah. That's hot wax, is it?
So the wax is going. Lukewarm wax.
And she's going with the strip wax, which is good because it, you know, really covers a lot of area, but can sometimes be the more painful waxing option.
Did we just have a massage table just hanging
around? Here we go, here we go.
Okay, the wax is going off.
Okay, that's not, because this is the top of my bum and it's not very, very hairy.
It's not that hairy, but it still hurts.
No, but she's,
Yeah,
she's swift.
Yeah,
she's done this before, trained professional.
She is swift. Ooh. How's that feel, Maddie?
Not too bad.
You're actually enjoying it.
No, but this is not the area that I'm most concerned
You worried
about
the forest a bit lower?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you don't have a particularly hairy bum.
No, I don't.
It's like, you know, it's all right. So you don't have to do as much work.
No, but as we get sort of deeper into the cave, it gets a little bit more, you know, sensitive and hairy.
Well, there might be some bats fly out of there.
There could be. I think there's a Thai soccer team in there.
Look at this. Karen's almost done one.
One cheek.
Send the divers in.
Oh, we're getting closer.
Hang on,
Maddie.
Because I'll tell you what Karen is good at. Is that she's just in there.
She's quick.
She's not messing
around. There's no time for me to get nervy.
No, there's not.
Yeah. It's getting closer to the entrance to the cave.
Can I just say, with that powder on you right now, it looks like something I saw at the back of Brumby's last week. It's a freshly baked loaf with flour everywhere.
It's not a bad-looking bum.
Oh, okay. I've got to now spread my cheeks.
Okay. Oh. Maddie. God, there he goes.
Oh, things you can never forget.
Just one side, sorry.
Please.
I did it.
The best thing about that is that producer Tom is filming, at the other end and was filming Matt's bum and wasn't prepared for the bum spread and saw too much and started panicking.
Kimber, I'm on the other side of the desk.
I didn't realise I was only meant to do one side.
Yeah,
I went the whole, oh my God, that's deep.
I can see the reflection over there in the newsroom window.
And, this is like proper, here we go.
I don't know if I can watch anymore. That's... You right?
Jesus Christ.
Nice. Look, they said you have to be fire ready, and he's fire ready.
He liked that one.
You right, Karen?
Oh.
Go. Just a quick one. Well done. That was good.
Oh, God.
Don't stop.
Okay. He starts with a bit of a wince, but then it ends in a ooh.
Apparently I'm clenching.
Relax. Just chill out,
okay,
mate. Yeah. So what we're talking about is total fire bans in Perth today. So Matt's taken care of around his property. But if you're wondering, don't turn the other cheek, mate. What we are doing, in case you're wondering, bear your butt for bowel cancer on Friday. Matt's getting prepared by getting his bottom waxed.
Poor Jen is sitting in the newsroom right now with the perfect angle of looking up Matt's
bum. She's pretending she's not having a sneaky peek.
Apparently there's a watch and act happening right here in the studio.
She is watching and HR are acting on it.
Hang on.
Okay, we almost done.
We're at the top. We're back to the top of the cave.
How do you feel about it, Matt? Would you do this again?
Yeah, well, it depends how it looks. If T likes it,
I'll
make it a 6-monthly.
Okay, all right, let's do that. Can we put it on the radio every time? We'll get Tom around to your place to film it next time.
I'll tell you what, okay. It looks beautifully smooth on the cheek that Karen has done. Okay. Yeah. Claire-Z,
Matt and Kimber. Matt is on a table right now because on Friday we're bearing our bums for bowel cancer and he's getting his bottom waxed.
And this is the finishing touch, I reckon. These last ones right down the inner crack there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matty?
Describe like that. You okay, Matt?
Was that a good one?
Yeah, that's getting quite close.
Can you see if Matt's eyes are watering right now, Kimber?
Well, he is a little bit watery. But what do you think, Matty? How's it been, all in all?
Oh, this is really... That was the good one.
Oh, he's sweating. He's actually starting to get a bit of a sweat.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of hair on that piece of cloth.
That was right down near the fruit and veg.
Okay, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
What do you think, all in all? It was all right?
Well, I don't know how it looks.
Well, it looks nice. You've got a nice looking bum.
Yeah, thanks, Kimber.
It's all together.
Yeah. How does it feel?
Look, I'd give it 3.5 cracks.
Okay. I'll give it one. I don't want to see it again. Well done, mate.
Oh, it's all for a good cause on Friday. Can't wait to bear our bums, especially now that yours looks extra special.
Absolutely.
Matt.
Thanks to Karen from Le Beau Despo, who don't normally do this their general business. So it's a special event today.
They do waxing, just not this type of waxing.
Not this type of waxing as such.
But thank you, Karen. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good job.
I feel like we've become quite close.
Yeah, well, you have.
I know you very much.
And well done, Matthew. Good job, bud.
Thank you. Claire-Z, Matt
and Kimber. As we remember our good mate, Captain Paul Shepherd, whatever you want to call Paulie, his mates are lining up to have a chat. And another of his radio buddies, Ian Blackley, joins us. G'day, Blackers. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Very well.
You got to love him like chocolate, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful man. And when we found out about his cancer struggle, that was a real shock. That was just terrible.
Yep, no doubt.
Let's hope he keeps fighting away and he gets on top of it and he's enjoying his retirement.
Mm. He's got a great attitude and you would have so many memories of the captain.
Oh, lots.
Yes. Any that you can share on air?
Lots you couldn't share.
Yes, that's what
for obvious true. Reasons.
Well, how long have you known Paul? He would have been quite young.
Oh, Paul and I started working together in 91 or 92 or something like that.
Yeah, wow.
At the other radio station in Wellington Street. We had a plan a few years ago. It was probably 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I had some mates who were involved in gold mining and they had some leases up near Kew. We were going to take our Christmas holidays and we were going to go up and we were going to go prospecting. And if we were going to find that much gold, we didn't have to come back. And that that never happened either.
Well, you would have been out on the town a few times with Paulie as well, right?
Times,
you would have seen a few Christmas parties and a few nights out on the Terps.
And none of them ended well. I remember one night in the city, Andrea Humperstone, a member of our sales department, a good friend of ours who was no longer with us.
The late Andrea,
she and I and Paul went out in the town one night after something and they were right into karaoke singing.
Oh, yeah, he likes a song, doesn't he?
And I sort of, anyway, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's like the karaoke bar at the old Orchard Hotel across the road from the old entertainment centre on Wellington Street or somewhere, and I'd had enough to drink for 50 people, along with they have done the same thing, and it was the greatest slur fest you've ever heard in your life.
And normally, Paulie's a great singer. He can hold a tune.
He can sing,
Yeah, he can.
Not this night.
But you know what that says to me? Nothing's changed because he still talks about prospecting. And then, you know, the thing he wants to, the why he loves it so much is that he doesn't have to have a shower. That's what he loves.
That's
about
right.
It.
Yeah, he's out in the bush. Yeah.
Did you hear what happened to his first drone?
No.
He's in the ocean.
Yes. Swimming with the fishes.
He still dreams of finding it.
And they actually develop one about 6 or 12 months after that actually goes into the water and can take footage under the water, swim around, come up out of the water and then take off.
It's practically Flipper.
And I sent him the footage and I went, mate, you need one of those. And he was so excited. I don't know whether he bought one or not.
Thanks for that. I heard about it for an hour at his place that afternoon.
Well, Blackers, the thing is too that, I mean, when it comes to Paulie, and everyone would know in any industry, work colleagues can come and go. But what is it about Paulie that, you know, really stands out for you when you think of him as a man?
He's an absolute darling of a man. He's just one of those beautiful, lovely people. He's always happy to see you. He's compassionate. He cares about other people.
Yeah.
And in turn, other people care and are compassionate towards him.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's really simple, really. You know, yeah. you reap what you sow, and he's just, he's always been such a lovely, lovely person.
He has. Mate, do you remember my first day at Mix?
I remember you asking me about coming up to start at Mix.
Right.
And you didn't want to do it.
And I wouldn't have had a second day at Mix because my first day at Mix in 2001, Chris Mainwaring had a wallet with about $3,000 in it and it went missing.
Oh.
And if it wasn't for Ian Blackley and Paul Shepherd, I would not have been working there because they both vouched for me. He said, he's a good bloke, it won't be him.
Oh, yeah, really?
I don't know if Maney ever
found it. Maney left a wallet, his wallet in the jocks room.
Fortune in it.
And a lot of money in it. He'd done an MC gig or something. And Maney's walking around, you know, because, I mean, they're another one we've lost, you know.
Yeah.
I was so upset the day we lost Maney. But, yeah, I was... Clancy.
So it was my very first day. So Maney's asking these guys, what about the new bloke?
Yeah, who's that guy?
So if it wasn't for Paulie and Blackers, I would have been history.
Oh, brilliant.
Hey, mate, great to talk about our good mate, and let's hope he gets well soon.
Yes.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Recently seen rocking at U2 at Optus Stadium during, I think, singing his heart out during Pride in the Name of Love. Here he is, the Premier, Mike McGowan. Good to see you, mate.
Good morning. You saw that.
It was a good night, wasn't
it? Great night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a good time. I was a big fan of U2 in the 1980s, like many people, 1990s. Back then, of course, the idea that you'd go to their concert was so far off my radar that I'd never have thought of that. But no, it was great. And to see them in the flesh was terrific.
Now, you're a friend of the show, so you can be honest. We were going to actually talk to you the following day after the gig, and then that you got cancelled and mooned to today. Was that because you were planning a big night at U2 and couldn't face us the next morning?
A little bit of truth in that. Late night. Late night. And then the following night was very late, another set of events and functions, and I had to get some sleep. So
yeah,
I'm sorry. You guys go without sleep.
Yeah,
no, I admire you immensely.
Yeah, because you did say to us at the time, you said, you guys are out, and we said, oh, we might sneak out about 10 p.m. and try and get a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, no, I don't know how you do it. But I, you know, if I don't get more than about 6.5 hours, I'm not very good.
Six and a half hours? Look shitty.
I think you were probably. I sat down to Kimber. I said, not often the Premier apologises. I said, you've got a state to run, mate. You've got a bit going on. So.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it was terrific.
Right.
And, yeah, lots of people there. They're iconic, those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the biggest band in the world when I was young. I suppose they probably still are.
In some ways.
And we're of a similar sort of age. And I don't know about you, but when I heard that guitar of Sunday Bloody Sunday start, I got a full rush of you know, reflecting back as a teenager and loving that music.
Exactly. Pride in the Name of Love, New Year's Day, all those songs.
Yeah.
I used to have a tape of those, which I'd recorded from the radio.
And then that pesky announcer comes on and talks too soon over the end of it. And you're like, oh!
Remember when you used to do that?
Trying not to get Gary Shannon or someone talking
over
the
That's right. Yeah, they talk over. And you'd always start a bit too late. You missed the first bit.
That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I Will Follow went down beautifully. But they played all those old classics. So busy time of year for you, mate. But do you get a bit of a break over Chrissy?
Yes, like most people, but not all people. Lots of people work over Christmas, but I'll have a couple of weeks off with my wife and kids and visit my parents. And my dad's nearly 80, so I'm going to go and see my mum and dad and take the kids for Christmas.
Great, beautiful.
And Perth will be okay. It'll sort itself out. We've got the two major seasons in Perth, winter and roadworks. So we'll be pushing through that over Christmas, won't we?
And that's right. At least the traffic drops off, the roadworks aren't so bad. But the roadworks are towards a good end. So we have the biggest road building project in the history of Western Australia, both in the city and the regions, which obviously causes disruption. But at the end of it, and they'll start finishing next year, a lot of the freeways, for instance, it'll be much better.
It's 2020 next year.
No, it's not good enough, Premier. We want the roads fixed without doing any roadworks.
If it's 2020 next year, when are we getting flying cars? I really thought this was going to be the time of the future.
Well. I think wasn't Blade Runner set like next year?
I think you're right. Yeah, a lot of those dates are starting to come up now. Yeah.
Well, Terminator was like 1984, wasn't it? It was set.
And they mentioned 2015, I think, in Back to the Future.
Okay.
So we should have flying cars, all those skateboards you fly around on.
Sometime soon.
No, the hoverboards.
They're coming. We've got guys in the lab working on it.
Now, Premier, you know what we're doing on Friday. We're going down to Swanbourne Beach to reveal our butts for bowel cancer. How do you feel about this? Is it okay?
Legally? It's a great cause.
Yes, it is.
And you picked the right location.
It is Swanbourne, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you picked the right location. I accidentally, when I first moved to Perth, walked along Swanbourne Beach. It gave me a shock. Yeah. But
we're very
liberal
here.
That's right.
Don't say liberal.
I'm a little bit confused about whether it's just the backside or the front side. But anyway, I'll leave that to you.
Yeah.
The the cause is great.
It is,
and Captain
isn't
it? Paul, obviously, yeah. You know, I've been following everything, and he's a lovely man and terrific. I remember him the last 30 years, I remember Captain Paul.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, just a terrific fella. And so I feel deeply for him.
Yeah, and he's so happy that it's raising awareness like this. It's, yeah, he's very pleased.
Yeah, he said if one person remembers to do their kit, you know, the test that comes, bowel screening, yeah, he said that he'll be happy. And dozens of people have told us they've gone, I haven't put it in the drawer this time.
I read the story how he kept looking at it, at the test kit, but never did it.
Yes.
And you think, yeah, gee, that's a real lesson for everyone. The you know, I think we're probably one of the only countries in the world at age 50 and every 2 years after that, you get this kit sent to you that can test against this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're very lucky people and we should take the opportunity.
And probably I know of someone, know a few people who've bought the test. You can go and buy the test as well and get it registered and that, and they've still not done it because they've put it off or thought it was going to be icky or whatever, which is
slightly embarrassing.
So yeah,
slightly embarrassing.
Of course.
Yeah. But, you know, when you turn 50, you get the test sent to you. So,
yeah,
you
true.
Know, should take it up and, you know, I'm in that boat.
Mm, yeah. Well, it's a damn shame you are busy on Friday and can't come down and bare your bum.
Oh. It's my daughter's school graduation.
Oh, that's probably more important. Probably best to leave the shorts on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I won't be. Oh, yes, that's right. At exactly. At the graduation, I'll be wearing my pants.
Wrong gig.
Got a bit confused. Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mix 94.5. 30 years and 2 days on the air. My
it's incredible.
Me.
What a career.
We've just been sharing a few memories about Paulie and, you know, over all these. I've always called him Paulie and people call him the captain around town. And then you say Paul Shepherd to people. I mentioned this the other day. You say Paul Shepherd and they stop.
Who's
and
that?
You say Captain Paul and then they get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I met Paul when that was probably 25 years ago or something like that, when the Mix 94.5, I think it was many lineups and many logos ago when they moved into the PMFM building there on Rockaby Road in Subiaco. Mm-hmm. And I knew straight away, even though I worked for the other station, I worked for PMFM at the time for about 10 years, that I knew Paul, he was a sweetheart. You could just tell him. We'd had some good chats and that kind of thing. But a sweetheart who had a desire to party.
Uh-huh.
So Friday nights and survey nights, we used to have four surveys a year. So there'd always be radio survey nights. And Paul would be well and truly into the partying. It was quite early.
Excellent.
Even if he was doing the breakfast hours and doing the traffic from the... he'd land Chucky and he'd be back at work ready to party. And he had a bit of a party crew with him as well. He had mates like Andrea, who's passed away since, and Bobby and Benny Rubin, the great businessman in
Perth,
was one of his mates. And Deegs, Damien Green, who we might be catching up with during the week. But Deegs I spoke to during the week, right? He was in the sales department at work. And he said that there was one day when Paul was no longer flying the plane doing the traffic reports, but what they decided to do was pretend he was still in the plane. So I don't know if they played some plane sound effects.
Yeah, it was like through a CB radio.
Yeah, through a CB.
I remember the first time I saw it and was like, aww.
And he was doing traffic, not just in breakfast, but in the drive time as well. So he'd come back with, and Ian Blackley, who's coming in later on today, was doing the drive show. And he crossed to him, and about halfway through this supposed in-the-air traffic report over Perth, his dog started barking. His dog started barking and gave the whole show away. And people are going, well, he's got the dog in the plane? What's going on?
Wouldn't surprise me.
So funny. But Paulie, I must admit, when I lived in Scarborough, he lived just down the hill in Double View. And we used to have chats about what was in his shed at home.
Yes.
And one day I went down and had a look in his shed and his garage, and it was full of toys. You guys won't be surprised.
No.
You know, I think there was a jet ski and a wave ski and
there'd be kayaks.
Probably F-111, stealth bomber. I think there was like 40 fishing rods. Oh, he had every toy under the sun. And so, you know, Paulie was just always one of those sweethearts to have around.
Yeah.
But in recent times, Paul's been looking at his future, right? So he's been obsessed with his superannuation balance.
Yes.
So I've made it a goal of mine to every time he would talk about his super balance to send him a message that afternoon and say, mate, I've just checked my super. It's up to 3.98 million. And I always get a laugh back from Paul just to stir him up. But we're looking forward to Friday, but it's bittersweet, of course.
Of course, it really is. Yeah.
Big farewell to the man. And let's be honest, he said yes to what's become a great campaign about bowel cancer.
It really has. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is doing what he hoped it would do and raising awareness.
Yeah, we're hearing it from our listeners direct. People are saying, I'm doing the test. I sent the test back. And we've had people sending in photos of them posting the test. So
absolutely,
we know it's working.
Yep. Excellent.
So we're looking forward to that big celebration of our mate, the captain. Captain Jack will get you high tonight. Great song too, eh?
Yeah. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Yeah, I was watching on SBS. They had subtitles.
Let's go. With the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Okay, I've got to put on my sort of best kind of voice, I care voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, okay. We'll get rid of your Irish accent. Yeah.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about female menstruation.
I mean, is it that you finally care or you're just pretending?
I've always cared. But, you know, there is a stigma around it. I don't know why. But, you know, we don't on our ads. I know there's a whole new thing now about showing blood.
Yeah, it was used to be blue.
Blue liquid.
Well, they got in trouble for that ad. They've been asked to remove the red.
Oh. Yes. Oh, have they?
Yeah.
What, too real?
Yeah, it's too real.
Too real, mate. Okay. It's too real. Well, look, it seems that it's always been a controversial subject.
Mom, I started my first period.
Well, what do you know? Come on, sit down. Tell me about it. When did it start?
It was this afternoon when I was changing into my gym clothes and I noticed a bit of blood on my panties and, golly, at first I thought, well, I didn't know what to think. And then I remembered when we talked about menstruation.
Oh, what was that from?
That was from last year. It was the West Australian Health Department's with Kate Blanchett playing the mother.
Was it Children's Channel 7? I'm not sure.
So a Japanese company, that this is a shop called Michikake. Mm. It's in Osaka, and they've gotten in trouble. They sell products related to female sexuality and menstrual health.
Yeah.
Sure.
And their employees have been walking around with badges that indicate what stage of their cycle they're at.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yes. Oh, now, okay. It's not compulsory for the employees to wear them. But
I should hope not.
Are there four stages? KC?
Four stages of your period.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue.
No.
I'm a person who has to track it using a mobile phone.
How's that going for you?
Not great. I forgot to put the last couple in and it's told me that I'm 102 days overdue.
Oh, dear.
Wow, congratulations. Oh, you're pregnant.
Are you going to name it after him or me?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we could start having badges, sort of emotive badges in the office. So that we would know what people were going through.
Okay, yeah, so you can pick people's moods. And...
Well, you know, sometimes I look out there and producer Tom's looking a bit surly and I'm thinking, what's wrong? Did I say anything? But all he needs is a badge that tells me he's just found out there's an 11 a.m. meeting.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
Oh, and I'll go, okay.
Tom looking surly. It's a day with the Y on the end of it.
What? Oh.
Took a while.
I think I'd wear a badge if it told management. If management wanted to judge our moods based on the last meal we ate, like how long it's been, because you need to worry more about my hangry than anything that's coming from PMS or any of that rubbish. Like, you don't need to worry about that. And just think about when was the last time you gave me food.
You only know when your periods are coming because we've worked together so long, we're in sync. Oh, Claesey's got his.
We all
are.
If
you've got yours, I know.
Yeah, we are, enjoy. It's scary, isn't it? Claesey, Matt and Kimber. And along for the ride, our buddies, of course, at Chemist Warehouse, really is their house of fragrances, this Chrissy.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest range of fragrances at the lowest prices. Kimber, what have you got today?
Oh, pick yourself up some Marc Jacobs Daisy, 100 mils for $79.99, a very popular one.
Mm.
And Christian Dior Sauvage.
Oh, hello.
Like Louise.
Mm, 60 mil for $99.99.
Very nice.
I don't mind going a bit Sauvage.
Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Claesey, Matt and Kimber.
It's a huge day on Friday and, of course, we're in preparations and everyone would have assumed, oh, Matt, you'd be really nervous today because you're getting your butthole waxed.
Oh.
And yes, I'm not going to lie to you. I've had moments throughout the night of thinking about it.
Yeah. Getting your butthole waxed was maybe not something you needed to say on air.
Possibly. It was not something I needed to do on
air. No, no. But looking forward to it today. Really looking forward to it.
Got a bit edgy, did you, sphincter boy?
Yeah, and I am a bit edgy, but I'm not as edgy as one Kimber Cahill.
Kimber is very edgy today.
And it's not got nothing to do with me or getting my kid out.
If anyone saw it on Facebook last night, yesterday morning we came in here and there was a giant huntsman spider trapped in the airlock of our studio.
It was pretty big.
And it's a weird space for it to be because it's basically between two sealed windows and so we don't know how it got in.
Yes.
The problem this morning is that it's gone.
It's missing.
It's yeah.
Now.
Yeah, and Kimber, by the way, just as a setup, is wearing the sash of scared of spiders. What's the word? Arachnophobic.
Yes.
2019.
Well, it was all right when it was trapped in the airlock because I was like, oh, it's pretty safe in there. It can't come out and get me. But the fact that it has found its way out And it means, you know, indicates that it's somewhere in this studio, and that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Well, it should do, because it was looking rather angry.
Yeah, because it got into that airlock and there was nothing to eat.
Yeah. And also through that glass, it's probably bigger than it looked through the glass, because that glass, you know.
It was big though, hey? Like, I'm not being arachnophobic here.
It was a small man's hand.
It was a big, it was a big, shut up, Matt, don't you dare. You know, I did that to you yesterday.
Yeah, that's scary. Okay, well, great. Good luck with the spider and good luck with your bum, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Getting the waxing done. It is hot wax, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we just make it a little bit hotter?
Yeah, yeah. And why does she want to put it on my nipples?
Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.
His name is Rob Broadfield. Some call him the most feared food critic in WA. We just call him a mate.
We do.
Of course, I don't know if he calls us a mate anymore now that he knows we get salivary around him.
Yeah, it's celebrating. WA for a good food guide.com. Rob Broadfield, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you all again. Fantastic.
It's lovely to see you. And of course, it's Christmas just around the corner. Mm. Is there anywhere you can go for Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner if you don't want to do it yourself?
Yeah, well, first thing, you don't want to do it yourself, actually.
No.
Families now increasingly are going to big hotels for Christmas, so it's really only the big hotels that do it properly.
Yep.
But when you boil it all down, it may seem expensive at first glimpse, but when all the food you waste, think of the ham that goes rotten and throw that turkey, everything else, then you've got the anguish of, you know, Uncle Fred who sits in the corner all day. And, you know, your sister-in-law who's always having a crack at you about the food you cook. Get rid of all of that angst out of your life.
Sure.
Go to a hotel, no wastage, someone else does the cooking and the washing up.
Yeah, nice.
And it may be, depending on where you go, it's like 120, 150, some of the fleshier ones are 200. But the ones that are really good are Crown, and they got a couple of venues. They've got that Epicurean thing, the buffet thing. Also, Bistro Guillaume's doing something out there as well.
Oh, yum.
I don't think Rockpool is. But also, the Western Hotel is really good.
Yep.
They're not doing anything that I'm aware of down at the new Ritz-Carlton yet. I don't think they've had time to get their feet under the table properly.
Yeah, it's pretty early.
Yep, but that's great. They're doing a really funky one at, as they would at the QT Hotel.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're a fantastic hotel, great restaurant. And they're doing it in Santini, which is Restaurant of the Year, of course.
Yes. And any of the gastro pubs doing a slightly, you know, more economical but you know, good feed?
The big hotels they sort of have to because they've got people in there but guests.
Yes.
They kind of got to open their dining room anyway. But the penalty rates for normal pubs and restaurants are just way too severe. They can't suck it up like a big hotel can.
Right, okay.
I mean, you could come to my place for a deconstructed pav. It's that I haven't even put it together in the first place. That's why it's so deconstructed.
So it's just egg whites. And a bowl of sugar.
Pretty much egg whites. Perfect. Oh, we'll run down the supermarket and get the other things we need. The pre-done kit. Hey, Rob, are there rules and laws? I mean, who's allowed to open? Is everyone allowed to open on Christmas Day?
Yeah, it's deregulated now.
Yeah, totally. So it's whoever decides to do it and if they can make some coin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Particularly in hospitality. I mean, in retail, there's some obvious issues, but in hospitality, no.
Now, Rob, something that we have to do before Christmas is, of course, this Friday, we are all bearing our bums for bowel cancer to farewell our fabulous Captain Paul from the airwaves.
Yes.
Are you busy Friday morning? Is there any chance you would like to come down and bear your bum with us?
Well, I'd put my ass out for Captain Paul.
Rob Broadfield is in.
I'll be there.
Oh, fantastic.
So we might need a chiropractor to put it back in?
You might. No, that'd be great fun. And good bloke, of course. And, you know, anything. Swanbourne Beach, the Shore House Restaurant for breakfast. And if I've got to be in a bum for 30 seconds, I don't care. That's great fun.
It's a good deal.
It works for me.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
And the thing, Rob, you don't know is every one of our bums pixelated apart from Kimber's in the photo.
So. Oh, that's brilliant. And can I just say, I've got a really good ass.
Oh, with the ear.
Yeah, looking very svelte, might I add.
Would you talk it up more? Oh, sensational news. That's great, mate.
Yeah. Good fun. Good fun.
We will talk to you again on Christmas Day.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Christmas Day special with Clancy, Matt and Kimber here at Mix 94.5.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, dogs destroy stuff.
Do they?
It's just what they do.
Of course they do.
Can't help themselves, but this dog's taken it to the next level.
Mm.
This dog started a house fire. He was under the bed playing with matches. No. Apparently, they reckon the dog, while the owners were out, jumped up on the kitchen bench and somehow operated the microwave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And these owners had a handy little packet of bread rolls sitting inside the microwave.
As you do.
As they started to cook, they began to burn and the fire spread.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
So the fire department did rock up in time, thankfully, and the dog was not hurt and the home was just damaged by smoke.
I was lucky.
but the dogs can destroy absolutely everything if they're left alone for long enough.
What, you're telling me or asking me?
can you give us a Florence update?
What's something that Florence has destroyed?
Well, you know, Florence is one in a couple of days.
Wow, that went quick.
Yeah, and you'll know this, Kim, but like obviously in the first 6 months, I guess like a toddler, you're always watching.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And of course, things were getting chewed and Florence is quite orally fixated, a lot like Daddy.
Mm.
But it's now that she's older and I'm less inclined to look at her all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
That the real damage gets done.
Yeah. Because she'll behaved herself for long enough.
Yeah. So yesterday she gnawed through the plug of the fan.
Oh, that's handy.
It wasn't plugged in.
Right.
But when I looked at it, the prongs had been bent over.
Oh, it was all a bit manky.
That's now dead, that fan.
Oh, no. And of all the things to do on a 40-degree
day. On a 40-degree day.
When you need the fan.
So it's a subtle destroyer that she is now.
Did Florence destroy any of your cables on beloved guitars or anything?
No, she wasn't. It was more about gardens.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, gardens, yeah, that's right, the lawn.
The lawn.
Artist
the
formerly known as your lawn.
Yeah, the veggie patch. Yes.
Yeah, not good.
My previous dog used to eat a few things at my parents' house. Never at my house, only when he went to stay with them.
Ah.
So ate a few TV remotes,
yep.
The cord of the vacuum, a few of those sorts of things. Like, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Different rules there.
Never tried to heat up some bread rolls.
No.
No, burn the house down.
No, never done that.
I think you'd have trouble explaining that to your insurance company as well. Like, oh, honestly, the dog jumped up on the bench and we had these bread rolls in the microwave. Sure you did.
No, yeah, no. Well. Insurance companies believe you, don't they?
No, they'll have someone around to ask questions.
Yeah, give us a call, 133353. What did your dog destroy while you were out?
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Fire ban in your own house in the UK here with this dog that started a house fire by activating the microwave oven while the owners weren't home.
Oh, yeah.
And just set off a packet of bread rolls that caught on fire.
Never put bread in the microwave. Stupid dog.
Yeah, what was it thinking?
Laura in Parmelia, tell us what your dog has destroyed while you were out.
Well, we had a golden retriever and we'd left her outside overnight. And she's about 2 months old. We woke up in the morning, we went out the back door, there was all this wire all over the floor and we started picking it up and then we looked across and we could see all these wires dangling underneath our car. She'd got underneath our Grand Jeep Cherokee and she'd tuned all the wiring out from underneath it.
Oh no, here goes the electrics.
Call the RAC.
Wow.
We had to actually get it towed away to Jeep because they said don't start it because you could set off all the airbags.
Oh,
it had
really?
To be rewired, yeah.
Far out.
Wow, that's huge.
And electrical work on a car is expensive.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then she gets locked in the laundry for the rest of her days.
And who would have known Laura's dog was actually Jason Bourne rewiring the car so it blew up?
It was actually going to take it drive.
Yeah.
Needed to get MacGyver.
Trying to hotwire it, yeah.
Wow.
Thanks, Laura.
Oh, that was an amazing story. And how frustrating.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's go to Naranda. G'day, Jason.
G'day.
How are you, buddy? What did your dog destroy?
He ate our remote to our roller dog. It had a fucking teddy bear on it. And the problem was, while he was in his stomach convulsions would trigger the remote.
It was going up and down all day.
That's awful.
I was going to say, do you have to squeeze your dog?
We only found this out when the roller dog, because no one actually had the remote. It was going up and down. And it took too long to figure out that it wouldn't pass it, so we actually had to go to the vet. And the vet found it quite humorous, the fact that we couldn't get out of until he stopped convulsing to get the roller door up so we could actually get him to the vet.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's both funny and awful at the same time.
I mean, the dog was okay afterwards, right?
Yeah, he was fine. He had a full bill of health and no more remotes.
Oh, God, that's. I think that might be the best story I've heard all year.
Oh, that is brilliant.
I love that.
Squeeze the dog.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Oh, the stomach convulsions. I love that.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
Poor thing.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
A little song here for a dog from Essex. Naughty Pooch.
Naughty Pooch activated the microwave while the owners were not home and set fire to a bag of bread rolls. The fire department had to come out and sort it out.
Easily done.
Yeah, dogs destroy things when you're not home. Andrea in Julamar, what happened?
Well, we've got four dogs now. The latest one, the puppy. Our husband wasn't really too interested in having one, but I persuaded him to get his puppy. And my husband went to the night classes to learn how to make rocking horses.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The rocking horse that he made. We went out one day, we were blessed. We three.
Oh, we're losing your phone there, Andrea.
Sorry, Andrea.
We might come back to you because it's a bit hard to hear you.
Well, sounds like you're on a rocking horse.
We're no rocking horse. Let's go to Medora Bay. Sue, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us, Sue, what did your dog destroy?
We had two Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and we went to work and came home, and they both decided to strip a trailer of its wiring completely.
Oh.
And chew the jockey wheel, which was the rubber ones, yep, down to a nub. And then they proceeded to destroy a couch and then their bed, which, so we came home, it was like Christmas.
Were these dogs never fed, Sue? What was going on? They just were curious.
I think that they just revved each other up bit too much, and they had a bit too much fun destroying everything while we're at work.
Also, incredible. What's with all these dogs that are going for an apprenticeship in mechanics?
They're all electricians.
They're all Sparkies. Sparky the dog.
They had very sharp teeth, that's for sure.
Yeah,
do. Those puppy teeth are unbelievable.
Yeah. And they just don't stop, right?
No.
The hardest thing is, you still have to love them afterwards, and you're like, oh, and they give you the cute eyes, and they've rewired your whole trailer.
But Sue's turned her house into a Facebook party that's gone out of control.
Yeah.
It is a bit, isn't it? Wires in the backyard. Sue. Get on your Sue. G'day, John in Meadow Springs. What has a dog gone nuts on and chewed the hell out of?
Wife's brand spanking new Dyson hand-stick vacuum cleaner.
No, not the Dyson.
Oh, you'll have to call in for the massive summer score, John, to get it back.
Wowee. They're expensive too.
Oh, I know. I'd only just bought it for her.
Oh, now, had the dog had a chance to hate on the vacuum because of its noise first, or you'd never used it?
Never even used it.
Okay.
Wow, it just knew. It could just recognise it.
Hey, John, be honest. Did your wife cry? Because I would have.
After the profanities came through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the anger subsided.
To be honest, though, John.
A new Dyson.
Once you've got a dog, you don't really need a vacuum cleaner. I just let McGruff just go around, have whatever's on the floor, sort yourself. Oh, yeah, the place is immaculate.
The problem is he's a mastiff, so he slobbers everywhere.
Oh, yeah. He's good for mopping.
You need a wet and dry vac. Thanks, John.
Of course, it is well known that dogs are attracted to the cyclonic suction.
Oh, there you go. That's what it is.
Of the Dyson.
Well, either that or they're envious of it.
Now, Andrea, we've got you back. Your husband was making a rocking horse.
Yeah, so he went to make classes to make a rocking horse, to learn how to make rocking horses.
Yeah.
This was 14 years ago, so it was his very first rocking horse that he made. He was very, very proud of, and we had it displayed in his office. And we went out one day and left the puppy with the other three, thinking everything's going to be absolutely fine.
Right.
When we came back, the puppy had chewed the rocking horse, and to make matters worse, he had managed to go through a pile of magazines and picked out the only first edition and had chewed the corner on that magazine, which I promptly blamed my husband for because I said he shouldn't have left the magazines in a place where the puppy could get.
Quite right, Andrea.
Yeah,
quite right.
I would have loved to have come home and seen the dogs riding on the rocking horse, though.
Yes.
That would have made my day.
Yeah.
Well, the rocking horse now is sitting on top of a chest of drawers. It was a medium-sized rocking horse, and every time my husband looks at it, he looks at Frank, who's the puppy, and he shakes his head and just says, "How could you do that to me, Frank?"
Oh. Really. Some mothers do have them.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks,
Andrea.
Do you reckon the magazine was Horse and Hound? Might have had a little bit of envy.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
So I've got a very special guest, a couple in the studio. Lynn, firstly, welcome. How are you?
Good, darling. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you've brought in this most magnificent cake with a Bricky's cleavage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Give your business a plug. What's your business name?
It's My Delicious Cake and Decorating in Bibra Lake.
Now, this is a huge cake of a great bum, someone bearing their bum, pulling their pants down, and some great photos of Captain Paul and our team around the sides. Thank you for doing this. What inspired you to do this?
We have our own little problem happening right now in the same sense. My lovely partner has the same cancer.
Oh, I see. So, very sorry to hear that.
No, it's just another way to give back.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
And thanks for you and Jared for coming in today, guys. Yeah, and we really appreciate it. Yeah, we really appreciate the sentiment. The cake is magnificent, but good luck to both of you as well.
No troubles. Yeah. Have a good time eating it.
Thank you so much. Although I have to say, I'm a bit jealous of the bum on the cake.
The bum is in great shape.
Much better than anything I'll be able to bring to the table, oh, that's for sure.
You get a tasty bum, mate. We'll be waxing that later. But
thank you for helping us push the message too for everyone, Jared, to send back their screenings.
Yeah. Give it another plug. My Delicious Cake and Decorating Supplies.
Thank you.
Yeah, good on you guys. All the best.
It's Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Have faith.
Believe. You must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
Faith is a bit of a general knowledge test of the players on our show.
Yes.
Members of the team. Today it's one Matt Dictinsky.
Matt is going to be playing. We've got Karen from East Vic Park on the line. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Do you feel like you know Matt pretty well? You know what he, what his knowledge would be?
Oh, you know, he does come up with a few right at the last minute, so I'm not sure.
Not sure. Oh, well, don't give us an answer yet.
Last minute Dictinsky.
You don't have to believe in him, because if you think he's going to get it wrong, and he does get it wrong, you also win the prize. So
no worries.
We'll see how he goes. Matt, leave the room.
Leaving the room.
You go into the cone of silence there, Matt. It's probably not a safe place for Matt to be.
No.
Put your fingers in your ears.
Karen, we can give you the category that Matt will be playing for today.
Yep.
And you tell us whether you think he's going to do okay.
What do you got?
The category is the Oscars.
Ooh.
Okay.
Do you have faith that Matt will know the answer? Or not?
We are talking about Matt Dictinsky. He's been in, what, 8, 9, 10 movies?
He's an actor of note. But don't let us sway you.
What do you reckon?
I know. Look, I love the game. George Michael was my first concert, so I'm going to have faith.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, we won't tell him whether you believe in him or not, Karen.
Yeah, don't give it away while we're doing the question.
In comes Matthew again.
We'll do that reveal at the end. Matt is strolling back in. He's walking faster without that hair on his bum.
I am. There's less friction.
After your bottom waxing earlier.
All right. Okay, well, Clizzy, do you want to ask the question?
Are you ready for this question, Matt?
Yes, I am.
I can tell you the category.
Oh, go on.
The category is the Oscars.
Okay.
Alrighty. Jack Nicholson has won the most Oscar nominations for an actor.
Mm.
Who has the most nominations for an actress? Do we need to say be careful with this one or just... we'll leave
the
it at that.
Most nominations for an actress. Yeah. Okay, I would immediately... My head goes towards Meryl Streep.
No.
Most nominations for an actress...
Without saying anything outside of this, Karen, would you know this answer?
I potentially would, yes.
Okay.
All right.
The most nominations for an actress.
Yes. Jack is number one in males.
Thinking outside the box. Who was there? Catherine Hepburn. Betty Davis. No. I'm going to go with Meryl Streep.
Going to go with
locking
the Queen?
In Meryl.
Yeah.
Okay. Meryl is locked in. The answer is... Meryl Streep.
Hey!
Meryl Streep.
Which is great. Now, Karen, did you have faith in Matt?
I absolutely did, and I kept saying, Shay, keep with that one. Don't change it.
Yeah, you did.
Good on you, Karen. Last minute, Dictinsky comes home again.
Can I tell you, second on the female list, one Catherine Hepburn.
Was it really?
Yeah, you got them both. Well done, man.
I was in my sweet spot.
Yeah, were.
Congratulations, Karen. You win a great prize. So well done for having faith in Maddie.
Thank you, Maddie. Thank you very much, everybody.
Good job, man. Well done, linesman. Well done, ball boys.
Thank you, Karen. Merry Christmas.
And you too.
Now you've got this Clancy, Matt and Kimber catch-up. Get great savings at Chemist Warehouse. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Join them weekday mornings from 6.